But in the New Testament, when people came to faith in Christ, it was usually same day, baptized, whatever situation they're in, and then learning to grow and to follow Jesus. And I just praise God for how His grace is at work in this place. I praise God that we get to be a part of it. And I think if John, the writer that we've been learning from, was here today, I think he would just love how God's at work to bring people to believe in Christ, because that, we have seen time and time again, is the whole reason he wrote the book of John. Remember this verse, John 20:31, the end of his book, after he's told all these stories, he's selected, you know, which accounts to share, and he's shared them, and now let's read this together. He says this: Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. That's the point. So if you get to the end of the Gospel of John, you're like, well, this is great. I know so much more about God now. You missed the point. And He's written so that we would believe. If you think, wow, I'm so inspired now to live just like Jesus, well, that's great. But you missed the point, because He's written it so that we would simply believe. And we prayed going into the season, God, would you, in this season, we're going to be in this series for 12 weeks, would you stir up hearts to receive you, Lord, as Savior, to believe upon you. And you know what? These two that were baptized today make 12 in the last 12 weeks have been baptized here through Four City Bible Church. So and others that have responded to God in faith. And as I was thinking about that last night and just reflecting on the book of John and wrapping up my thoughts for this morning, kind of grabbed my guitar, and this happens to me sometimes, and I felt like a song kind of came, and it was really just a song that came out of my heart in dedication to any and all who've responded to call upon Christ in this season. And I thought, why not? Let's share that together today. So Meg's going to come up and help me, because she loves it when we do this kind of thing. As you can imagine. But it's a song that just walks through what we've read and seen in the book of John and just celebrates faith in Christ. And it's called I Believe. And it's going to kind of set the tone for the morning. So we're going to try it.
You are the way and
We made it. It really is just a celebration of the faith I've come to see people have in Christ, and it's just been a joy to be part of this journey. We've said all along that Jesus is the one, and you could be the next, and today could be the day. So if you haven't believed yet, that's okay, because today could be the day. In fact, people all over the world today are going to choose to call on Christ as Savior. The only question is, who's going to be next? Who's going to be next? And what we've seen in this journey is we've called it an art of encountering Jesus. We said that encountering Jesus is more of an art than a science. Because while there's things that we're all going to believe about Christ, and yes, we're going to share the same faith in that way, our journey to Jesus can be very different. He's going to call us from wherever we're at, whatever place we've been. Your story might not be the same as those baptized today or Tyra who's baptized first hour. You might look around sometimes and think, I could never follow Jesus like this person or this person or this person. You know what? It's okay. You don't have to. It's kind of an art, and people come to Jesus for different reasons. They follow him in different ways. There's some things we all have in common, but praise God that he meets us wherever we're at. Isn't that what we've seen in the book of John? Think about it. Think about the people that we've seen in this book. We started in John chapter 1. Fishermen in Galilee, of all places, are the first ones to be invited to follow Jesus, the last ones you would think of. And then in John chapter 3, Jesus is back down in Jerusalem with Nicodemus, kind of a top of the totem pole religious leader, has it all together. And yet even he realizes he needs to encounter Jesus, and he's born again into God's family. And then he's back in Samaria, of all places, the other end of the spectrum, with a Samaritan woman who's been in sin for some time, and yet she encounters Jesus and drinks the water that wells up to eternal life. Then he's back down in Jerusalem with a paralytic in John chapter 5, and he finds an encounter in Christ and healing in Christ. John chapter 8, the adulterous woman is about to be stoned. In the midst of her sin and shame, she encounters Jesus. John chapter 9, a blind man from birth has been living in shame his whole life, encounters Jesus and receives spiritual sight. Lazarus is dead when he encounters Jesus in John chapter 11. Thomas is doubting even after the resurrection, and he encounters Jesus and says, my Lord and my God. Peter is in denial three times, and yet he's restored by Jesus. Do you get the sense that no matter who you are, no matter where you're coming from today, that you can encounter Jesus? That anyone can? receive what he's offered through faith in him. That's what I see in the book of John. I see people with all different oh yeah, let's hit this. Because sometimes people will say, I've heard this so many times, Pastor Mike, if I stepped into your church, you wouldn't want me there because God would strike me with lightning. It would probably hit everyone else too. You know, when I read the book of John, I don't see lightning. I see light. Read this verse with me. John 1:9. Let's read together. The true light who gives light to who? Every person was coming into the world. There's no one that's too far away for his light to reach. Every person. John 3 says that Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. We're already condemned in our own sin. He came to save us, to give us light. John 1:12, yet to who? To all who received him. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The point is, we have different presenting problems, but Jesus meets us all in our need. Wherever we're coming from, whatever our problem, Jesus meets us. We might have all different reasons for coming to him. We've seen this not just in the Gospel of John. We've seen this in the stories we've told of people today who are coming to Christ. Remember with me some of the stories we've heard in the course of the last 12 weeks. We heard about a professional wrestler who was at the top of his world, at the top of the world, with all the money, all the fame and everything, but rock bottom spiritually, ended up in a heap of trouble in prison, and in prison he encounters Jesus, and now he's telling his story to thousands. We've seen a basketball coach encounter Jesus in the midst of a terrible defeat last year and now experience great victory through Jesus this year. We've seen a skeptic set out to prove that Christianity is a hoax because he didn't want his wife to believe, and he ends up writing a book called The Case for Christ and trying to now convince others to believe in Christ. We've seen someone that should have been shot and dead with 49 others in a gay bar, a nightclub, down in Florida, and since then, he's encountered Jesus Christ. He shares his testimony of how Christ has changed his life, and he's out there sharing God's love with others. We've seen someone, a paralytic herself, encounter Jesus and find a hope and purpose in her life. We've seen a mom pray over a son that was pronounced dead, encounter Jesus, and have new life for him and see him go on to trust in Christ and follow Christ, as is talked about in the movie Breakthrough. We've seen a teenage girl look to Jesus in all kinds of mess that she was in as a teenager, and then even after she was martyred in Columbine, her family and so many more have encountered Jesus because of her story. We've seen Vision of Hope, a residential center dedicated to meeting young women in their place of need, whether it's depression, whether it's self-mutilation, whether it's unwanted pregnancy, whether it's eating disorder. And we've seen how there's hope and opportunity to encounter Jesus for young women. We've seen in the nation of Iran, where a generation ago Christianity was all but pronounced dead, and now, 30, 40 years later, it's the fastest growing church in the world because people are disillusioned with Islam and are coming to encounter hope and love and life in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, as you remember these stories we've told over the weeks, do you think you can encounter Jesus? Do you think anyone can encounter Jesus? Because it's not about us or where we're coming from. It's about him and his readiness to meet us wherever we're at, to transform us as we trust in him. How does he do that? He does it no matter where we're at. He meets us there, and then he offers a deeper solution. And that's your point. Jesus has the same deeper solution for us all. He gives us eternal life. He allows us to experience these presenting problems so that he can introduce us to the deeper need that we have for his eternal, abundant life that'll take care of all the rest. So in John 3, he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus just wants to improve his religious life. Jesus says, well, that's a nice need that you have, but you need a whole new life altogether. You need to be born again. The woman at the well is looking to these wells for water and for thirst, and she's looking to relationships to fulfill her heart also. He says, no, you need to drink the water that I give you. The water that I give you will well up to a spring of eternal life. The blind man just can't see, and Jesus gives him spiritual sight. and spiritual life. No matter what the problem is that we have, Jesus' first agenda is that we would come to trust in him for eternal, abundant life. That's what he says in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, I have come that they might have life to the full, have it abundantly. Right? We've seen what he said to Nicodemus. We've seen what he said to the woman at the well. Which means he's not just here to improve the life we already have. This series has not been about seeing bad people become good or good people become better. It's been about seeing dead people come alive. About seeing people that could not find life anywhere else finally look to the author of life and receive and drink and eat and trust. And so there's a constant invitation, is your point. The constant invitation, Jesus gives us a choice. He's not going to force it on us. And the invitation he gives us is simply to believe. Believe. Let's read the text. He says it time and time again. John 3:16. Whoever believes in him, right? God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him and then lives a perfect life forever after that will not perish. But is that what it says? No. Has eternal life through faith. John 5:24. Whoever's gone to church their whole life and then hears my word and then, is that what it says? Yes or no? No, who's ever gone to church at least 3 times and then hears the word? And is that what it says? Who's ever been a good moral person by however they define morality? And is that what it says? Whoever hears my word and believes has eternal life and will not be condemned. Why? He was condemned for us. Has eternal life. Has crossed over from death to life. That's what we've seen in the gospel. That's what we've seen in the world that we've shown the stories from. We've seen in our church people crossing over from death to life by faith. Jesus says, whoever believes in me will never die, will never spiritually die. Do you believe this? That's the invitation. Do you? It's personal, right? What about you? What about you? What about you? What about you? Do you? Jesus wants to know, do you believe this? Not, you know, are you ready to figure out the whole Bible and everything it means for your life right now? Let's just start like they did. Christ died for your sins and rose again. He's God. Will you call him your God? Will you believe? And so we see the invitation. So when we believe, part of what we do, yes, is we agree that we have sinned. John the Baptist said, John 1:29, it was the first line of that song. It's what kind of got me going on that. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, we have sinned. And on our own, by our own works, we cannot restore relationship with God. God desires us to be with him and have life forever. But our sin separates us from him. We've seen that in John. Romans 3 says, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us on our own, through our own good deeds, are good enough to earn God's love. No. Our sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. But praise God, he loves us too much to leave us separated from him. And God demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That we were supposed to die. We deserved death. It was our sin. But he, the sinless Son of God, took our place. Took the condemnation that we deserved. So that we could live through faith in him. And the Bible says, whoever believes has eternal life. Whoever trusts in him will never be put to shame. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Why? Because he's risen again. He didn't stay dead. He rose again, proving he was God, so that now by faith we can trust in him, be born into his family, be forgiven of our sin, and have eternal life. And then it's our joy to learn to love and to follow him in the years to come. But first step, first agenda for Jesus. Do you believe this? You've heard it. Maybe you've heard it for weeks. Maybe you're hearing it for the first time. It's simple enough for a child to understand it. Do you believe this? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I want to, just with all heads bowed, all eyes closed, we're going to stay like this for a minute. Because sometimes you think, well, what does faith look like? Recently, I took my kids to the water park. Think about this with me. They were not in a hurry to get into the van, and we were trying to leave. Finally, I had to say to them, look, if you're not in that van in 5 minutes, that van's going to the water park. You don't want to miss out. And by simple faith, they realized they had no other way of getting to the water park, and they got into that van because they trusted that that was the way of the water park. That's what faith looks like. We apply that to Jesus. He has invited us to trust in him to go to heaven, to have eternal life, to be forgiven of sin. There's no other bus. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. What faith looks like is giving up on any other way we would have and turning to Jesus and trusting in him to take us to heaven and to give us abundant life now. If that's your heart today, to trust in him, would you just pray this to him? Let's do business with God. Would you just pray this to him? Repeat these words after me. Just say this, Lord Jesus, I agree and admit that I am a sinner. But Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sin. And I believe you rose again. And I'm trusting in you. I call upon you. Save my soul. Give me eternal life. My friend, if that's your prayer today, as best you can understand it, God's word is clear. One who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Nothing can separate them from God's love. He holds you in his hand. He'll never let you go. I invite you today, with all heads bowed, eyes closed, why not set a mark? In this moment, if that's been your decision, would you just slip up your hand, even look up at me? I just want to keep you in mind as I pray. I just want to say, God bless you if you've done that. Anybody want to slip up their hand and say, yes, today is my day. God bless you. God bless you. Today is my day. Any others? God bless you. Today is my day. God, I just thank you so much for these and any others who have called upon you. Lord, we rejoice, we celebrate, we praise you. And pray your very best for them in following you. We look forward to all that you'll do. Secure them in your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to do now is, some have responded in that way. I want to give everyone a chance to respond to how God, let's just wait 1 second on these though, but I want to give everyone a chance to respond to how God's been speaking into your life in this season. So, everyone in just a moment is going to get an orange card. There's 3 simple questions on here. The first one is, how's God been speaking to you? What do you want to remember, you know, from the Gospel of John that you've seen in this season? The second one is this, where do you stand with Jesus? For the second one, there's 4 options, and everyone should be able to pick 1 option. Even if you've called on Jesus today, you can choose that, but there's an option there for everyone. So everyone should be able to pick 1 option. And the third question is, who's someone you can share the good news about Jesus with? Now, we want to take some time and think about that. So these cards are going to come down in just a moment. You're going to have a couple minutes to fill it out. And then after that, we'll take the offering. As we take the offering, you can put these orange cards back in the offering. Why? Because we are going to pray for you. We're going to pray Tuesday morning. We'll pray Wednesday night. We'll pray Saturday morning. And throughout this week, we're going to pray for how God's working in your life. Okay, so we're going to receive the cards now. Come on down, guys. Our ushers are going to come. Get a pencil if you need a pencil. Take some time, do business with God, and then we'll go on. Oh, Father, I thank you for these and any others, Lord, that you're working in. Father, we've been on this journey together, and we're not done yet, Lord. You're not done with us. It's just the beginning. I pray that
Lord, you would seal right now by the power of your Spirit just the work that you've done in this season, that we would not soon forget it, and Lord, that we would walk out the things that you've called us to, that we would stand in the secure salvation you've given us. Lord, I never tire of hearing and preaching the gospel, even as, Lord, we move into different books of scripture together. We'd never leave the gospel. It's all about Jesus. As our 4C day camp staff loves to say, Lord, seal your work. Bless each one. You know our hearts. We love you, Lord. We have tasted and seen again that you are good. And together, we just hope that your heart can, and we know that you can, just hear our hearts this morning, just lifting up to you and saying, Lord, thank you again. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. We are so happy to know you. We love you, Lord. May we stay in all that you've given, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. Because we're not done yet. I warned you. Part two is going to be quicker. Don't worry. I just want to mention that John, although his mission is to bring us to faith in Christ, we also see that we're not just saved by Christ, we're sent by Christ. I want to read this verse, John 20, 21 with you. But Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Okay? Think about that. He's been sent into the world. He's been sent into the world with a message, specifically for him. It was, I am God, believe in me. We now have been sent into the world. By the power of his Spirit in us, we're sent into the world with a message. He is God, believe in him. And so the question just is, we kind of wrap up John. We have to think about what it looks like for us now to follow John's example. He was a fisherman, right? He was a fisherman. But he wrote this book. He wasn't a writer, but God used him. The Samaritan woman, as soon as she found Jesus, come and see a man who told me everything I did, and he accepted me. The blind man, I don't know, guys, I was blind and now I see. You figure the rest out. That's my story for now. I'm sticking to it. Right, day one, they launch, and they're sent. Well, we got a lot of rocket scientists around 4C, we've got NASA nearby, and I am not one of those rocket scientists, but one thing I know about rockets is you don't invest in them and build them in order for them to stay on the ground and be admired. Wow, that's a lot of nice rockets in the NASA museum, right? They build those things to launch. And when God saves us, he saves us to launch, to be sent, to be known not just for our seating capacity as a church, but for our sending capacity. We're all launched. He sent every single one of us. We're launched with a message. And the message we see in 1 Corinthians 15, I just want to look at this with you. Because you ask a bunch of people what the gospel is, and you might get a bunch of answers, but we need to know the message that we're sent with. Paul summarized it like this. He writes to the church of Corinth, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. Now hold up. That means whatever he's about to say was what he received to Jesus. It's what he preached in this city. It's what they received, and it's what saved them. I think whatever he's about to say qualifies as the gospel, right? The power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. He says this, of first importance, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried. You don't bury people unless they die, right? It was prophecy that would happen, so those two things are proof that he died for our sins. And he rose again on the third day, again, proof according to the scriptures, this is prophecy, and he appeared. People don't appear unless they're alive, right? So it's proof that he's alive. So you have these proofs of the gospel. The gospel, I would summarize it this way, like Paul, Christ died for our sins and rose again. That's the message. That's what we're given to preach. Christ died for our sins and rose again. Paul says at times that I preached nothing else except Christ crucified, except the gospel. That's all I knew. So if we know that, that's enough to share with someone else. And I want to think a moment, especially because some of you are coming out with us after church, how could we share that with others? Paul prays that we would share it, that God would give open doors. In Colossians chapter 4, he prays that God would give an open door and that he would proclaim it clearly. How can we proclaim it clearly? Let me suggest to you, when you're talking with people about their spiritual journey, a great question to ask, and I know your notes are busy on the back, but find a place to write this down. A great question to ask, has anyone ever shown you from the Bible how you can know that you have eternal life? There's other questions, there's other ways to do it, but a great start is, has anyone ever shown you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you have eternal life? Because a lot of times people say, well, I've been to church, you know, I grew up in a moral family. That's great. I'm so glad you've been to church. In that church, did anyone ever show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you have eternal life? In your family, did anyone ever show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you have eternal life? That's a different question, right? It gets to the point. And then to help people begin to see, number one, God's got a plan. There's other methods, there's other outlines, but God's got a plan. His plan is for us to live with him forever. He desires us to have life with him. We've seen that already in John 3:16 and John 10:10. He desires us to have life with him. The problem is that's not our experience, is it? There's a lot of brokenness in this world. There's a lot of people who feel very disconnected from God, including ones that you're trying to share your faith with. And God tells us the reason for that in Scripture, and it's our sin. There's a problem. Our problem is that sin separates us from God. We saw that in John. Jesus, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, just give you a way to illustrate some of these points, okay? So like David and I, now David's played baseball, right? And I played baseball. Well, he's younger than me, so he could probably throw a baseball further than me. So David and I are going to have a contest to see who can throw a baseball all the way to the Washington Monument. Now, he might get it to the end of this parking lot, and I might get it a few feet short of him. But how silly it would be for him to say, look how much better I am than you, if the standard was the Washington Monument. When God says that all have sinned, he asks us not to compare ourselves to each other so that we feel a little better than this person or a little worse than this one, but to compare all of us to his holy standard by which we all fall short. He puts us all in the same boat, and the problem is the boat's drowning because Romans 6:23 says our sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. Okay, but here's the next point. God's solution. God's solution is the gospel. Jesus died for our sins and rose again. We were the ones that were supposed to die, but when Jesus hung on the cross in John 19:30, he said, "It is finished." That meant all the work to pay for sin was paid in full. There's no work that you or I can do to add to it. There's no good deed. God says all our good deeds are like filthy rags. The sinless Son of God died in our place. He took our place. We were supposed to die. He died. It'd be like if my dear wife, Meg, had a terrible, fatal disease. How I would long to, and many husbands can relate to this, I would long to take her diseased cells out of her body and to put them into my body, to take my good cells out of my body and put them into her body. If that could happen, what would happen to me? I would what? Die, and she would live. And when Jesus hung on that cross, he became sin for us. He took sin upon himself. He died the penalty for our sin so that we could have a chance to live. And what he asks us to do in response to that, having risen again, proving he's God, he asks us to now believe, or we already talked earlier, to trust in him. To trust in him. That's the invitation. To trust Jesus, to forgive our sins, adopt us in God's family, and give us eternal life. We've read some of these verses already. A lot of people will say they believe in God. I've always believed in God. I've always grown up in church. How do you help people understand what it looks like to believe? One illustration I like, and there's others, but if we had this lifesaver and if we were all drowning and we threw this inflatable device into our sea, right, how would we be rescued if that was the only way? Some of you in the back can't even see that on the ground. So if you can't see what can save you, you don't have much of a chance. That's why we need to get the word out. Some of you can see this, but you might think, I don't know if that could hold me up. It's kind of a puny little thing. And so you find another way. Some of you, sadly, this is what happens. We see what can save us. We believe it can hold us up, but we think, nah, I'm going to do this myself. I don't need a crutch like that. I'm going to find a way to save myself through my own good deeds. But the only ones that will be rescued are the ones that simply reach out and receive the life-saving that's been offered. The same way our saving faith. God asks us to see, to know who Jesus is, to believe that he has the power to save us, and then we have to trust in him and call upon him. And sadly, many people I meet are people who've known it and have seen it, but even on their deathbed are still hoping they've been good enough, that they're good enough swimmers to make it to shore. God says, no, you've got to turn from whatever you're trusting in and grab hold of what I give you in Jesus. That's what it means to believe. I encourage you, invite people to believe. John's the only book of Scripture written specifically to tell us how to have eternal life. Over 90 times he uses the word believe. Let's use the word believe. Let's teach people what it means to trust and to believe. John 1:12, to all who received him, to those who believed, he gave the right to become children of God. It's a great way to share your faith. I love to ask people at the end, is there anything keeping you from trusting Christ right now? Because it gives you an opportunity, if there really are things that they're wondering about, now you can begin a journey of helping them process that. That's a great closing question. Is anything keeping you from trusting Christ today? Look, question I have for you, we asked it on the very first day of the series. Who's your one? Who's your one? Walter had his one today. He's been working with Michael, sharing the gospel, helping Michael believe. Don had his one today, helping Jaden believe. First hour, Susan Wasson helped to baptize Tyra, young woman about 28, 30 years old. She's been visiting for a while. Lonnie and Susan together baptized her. She has made a disciple. The first one she met, she was there when Tyra prayed with us to receive Christ, and she's been discipling her. Guys, that command, go and make disciples of all nations, that's given to everybody. We're all to be disciple makers. Who are you discipling? And what would it look like? You've been baptized? What would it look like to baptize someone else? What a vision.